know you can't meditate. If you afraid, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Knock, knock, so let me see you get loose. It's going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Happy Victory Monday here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. What a difference a week makes. The game in many ways very similar. The only difference is this time the Browns came out on the right side of it for the first time in Baltimore when they won 33-30 in overtime in 2007 on a field goal. The Browns have won again in Baltimore, 33-30 in overtime on a field goal from Mr. Perfect Travis Coons. Josh McCown, 36 of 51, 457 yards and two touchdowns on the day, setting a Cleveland Browns franchise record for the most passing yards in a single game. I know Bernie Kosar had more than that, I think 489 in a playoff game, but this is called the franchise records based on regular season. He is 36 completions, second most in Browns history. He is the first Browns quarterback ever to throw for more than 300 yards in three straight games. His 1,154 yards over that stretch is the most in Browns history and the most in the NFL over the last 3 weeks. What a game for this offense. What a game for Josh McCown, who posted a quarterback rating of 111.3. He's now gone 92 straight attempts without an interception. Josh McCown playing great football, and the Browns offense would not be denied in this one as they got the job done 33-30. Wow.
What a great game. And I think for me personally, as I sat at home watching the football game and not being entrenched and not having the bad track record like many Browns fans do with the taste in their mouth that the Cleveland Browns were eventually just going to blow it. There were times, even, at 14-3, 14-6, 14-9, I just had a calm about me when it came to the game in general, knowing the way Josh McCown was leading this offense, the nickel and diming, and then the chunk plays mixed in, that as we inched closer and got closer and eventually got into that, like, that 8-minute mark in the fourth quarter, I was of 90% certainty that we would win that football game. And then, tails never fails, and Betonio went out there, and what did he call to start overtime? Tails. It was heads. And
it does fail.
It does fail. So I learned a lesson yesterday. but then the defense, which bent all day long, bows their neck late in the fourth quarter, bows their neck in overtime, gets the ball back to this offense, and what you saw to that offense and their ability to have another team reeling, we're usually the team that's reeling in situations like that. Unable to stop the run, unable to stop the pass, no pressure, forcing us into some long third down situations. And we were all but that in overtime. Getting to second and two, maybe only gaining a yard on third down, but you were so confident in Josh McCown and the play calling of John DeFilippo to put us in a great situation to move the chains. We'd get 6 yards, then we'd get five on first down, and it was just methodical and a great victory all in all, and something that Mike Pettine should be very proud of.
Certainly, it was much needed, and the team, I can tell you, jubilant, gotten to talk to Josh McCown, Gary Barnage, Travis Coons. It's just been fantastic. What a great win for the Browns. But again, similar, as we said, in many ways to the San Diego game. If you had told me going into the game, okay, that the Ravens would run for 181 yards on 6 yards a carry, that the Ravens would not turn the football over, and that Joe Flacco would be sacked only once and hit only twice, and that the Browns would win, I would have said, no way.
You would have taken some mean odds on that, right?
Yes, but that just tells you how good this offense was. And I said it on the sideline yesterday. I have no problem saying it again today. All I wanted was our offense to have the ball with a chance. I did not want our defense on the field. I wanted our offense on the field. And what a difference that is from what you thought the narrative would be at the beginning of this season. But that's the reality. When they went in there and changed their identity, and I can tell you exactly when it was, offensively, halftime of the Raiders game, the Browns said, okay, no longer are we going to line up and tell you we're running and try to run the football on you. We're going to spread you out. We're going to play three receivers more often than not, and we're going to just let Josh McCown do what he clearly is capable of doing, throwing the football. The last 10 quarters have been probably the best 10 quarters of Browns offense, maybe in the history of the franchise. And I know that sounds crazy to say, but go back and think about it.
Yeah.
That second half of the Raiders game, you were on fire. Great game, obviously, down there in San Diego. And then a great game here. We know it's already the franchise record for the most passing yards in a three-game stretch. The Browns are on pace right now to throw for 5,000 yards this year. The Browns are the interception percentage of the Browns, third lowest in the NFL, behind only Tom Brady and Eli Manning, who's playing great football. They're taking care of it. They're throwing it. They're throwing it effectively. It is... it's remarkable to see.
Something I want to, and I'm not turning the page so quickly, let's enjoy this all day, but something is, as we get stats delivered here to the Dog Bowl for us to reference and use, of course, in preparation and throughout the show, one thing that jumped out to me is Peyton Manning right now, to jump to Denver very quickly, just a, and I know he's not playing his best football, and he looks old, and someone, I heard it this morning, I think Aaron Goldhammer said he looks like Frankenstein playing quarterback. Peyton Manning right now, through five football games, is 120 and of 189 for 63.5% for 1,234 yards and six touchdowns. Okay, 1,234.
On the season.
On the season. And Josh McCown threw four football games because he missed one because Johnny Manziel started versus the Tennessee Titans.
And he played one drive.
And
in
he
the
played
first
one drive.
So this is really three games.
Exactly. It's really three games. 101 of 149. 67.8% of his passes are completed for 1,203 yards and six touchdowns with one interception. And, oh, by the way, Peyton Manning's thrown seven so far.
He's playing to be, and I get accused of plenty of things, so I don't care what you guys have to say, but I would challenge you right now, other than maybe Tom Brady.
Yes.
Maybe Eli Manning, you could make the case, but I don't think over the last three games you would say this. What quarterback is playing as well as Josh McCown right now in the NFL?
No.
Aaron Rodgers has been great, but the last couple
two
of games...
Two picks at Lambeau yesterday.
He struggled. Two picks at Lambeau. Didn't have a whole lot of offense going
right.
against the 49ers
defense
the week
played
before
good,
that
kept
either.
In the game.
And I'm not saying I want Josh McCown or Aaron Rodgers. I'm saying right now, he is playing as well as any quarterback in the NFL.
He is, and as I mentioned to you as we went down to grab lunch, something that I believe, along with John DeFilippo in his first year as an offensive coordinator, his play calling is on point. As you continue to edify Nathan, the fact that he knows what coverage he's going to get in what situations and take those down the field shots as good as anybody. I mean, the screen out the back door to go for to be a chunk play and expecting that pressure and have Josh hold the ball just long enough and then dump it over their heads is something that I saw out of North Turner when he was the head coach in San Diego, but that happened to be LaDainian Tomlinson. But what I really believe, along with his play calling, is now we are diverse in the weapons that we have. We have wide receivers that can win. You've got Gabriel winning. You've got Hawkins playing his role underneath, not doing anything exceptional. Yeah, we had the shot into the end zone. But you have the emergence of Barnage. So every level now we're challenging. You get the deep balls with Gabriel and Benjamin. You've got the intermediate with Barnage and Hawkins and Hartline. And then you've got the underneath in Duke Johnson and Isaiah Crowell. So every offensive playmaking group is contributing to the success of this offense.
What's amazing about it, again, is that this is a game where you throw for 457 yards. Nine different receivers caught the football. Of those nine, six of them had a catch of 20 yards or more.
Chunk plays.
Six different players had a catch of 20 yards or more. Barnage, Benjamin, Gabriel, Duke, Hawkins, and Crow all had a catch actually of 22 yards or more. Dwayne Bowe, Brian Hartline, Rob Housler contributed two catches for 11 yards to this 457-yard outburst. This is the guys that were here with the Browns developing, blossoming. Travis Benjamin, 6 for 83. Barnage, 8 for 139 and a touchdown. Career highs once again. First tight end since Ozzie Newsome to have a touchdown in three straight games for the Browns since 1983. First tight end since Ozzie Newsome to have six catches in a game, three games in a row since Newsome in 84. Unbelievable what Josh McCown is doing. Unbelievable what Gary Barnage is doing. Gary Barnage has really only become a factor in the last 3 weeks, and he's leading all tight ends in receiving yards over the last 3 weeks. He is number two among tight ends on the season in receiving yards, trailing only Rob Gronkowski, and he's already 150 yards above his career high. In a season.
And how much does he trail Gronkowski by?
1 yard.
1 yard.
1 yard. It is absolutely remarkable what this offense is doing. A tip of the cap to Josh McCown. A tip of the cap, of course, to John DeFilippo. The backs getting involved in the passing game for the second straight week. 8 catches, 93 yards, and a touchdown between Duke Johnson and Isaiah Crowell, who continues to show what he can do when he gets out there into space. I know, and my timeline on Twitter is already blowing up. I know that the defense is not playing well. We're going to enjoy the victory, and we're going to enjoy what the offense did for a little while. We can talk about it today. That's fine. If you are listening to me and reading between the lines when I'm saying this game was very similar to San Diego, other than the fact that we won, you know that. So far, these guys are playing great. How long will they be able to keep it up? We'll find out where this offense is, because you took advantage of a Baltimore Ravens team that was a little bit beaten up. Let's be honest, on the defensive side of the ball, lost some key players throughout that game. But they are playing unbelievably well thus far. Now the test comes with Denver, one of the best defenses in the league, the Rams the week after that, and then Arizona the week after that. This is, and Cincinnati right after that on a short week. This is going to be a tremendous test for this offense. But right now is the time to just savor the fact that Josh McCown put on a historic performance for this franchise. And you just got to appreciate what you saw, how effective he was, how efficient he was, and just what a great job overcoming everything, including what I thought was a bad call by the refs on the 15-yarder on K'Wan Williams.
Yeah,
on
horrible,
the last drive.
Horrible.
For the Browns to show this resolve and get this much-needed win.
I agree with that. And what I would expect coming out of this locker room is it's a lot of what we thought we were capable of, at least speaking of the offense. And we feel right now we match up, you know, very well with any defense across the NFL, and we're going to continue to grow. And I watched your interview with Gary Barnage, and it's like, you know, they're finally getting to where they thought they would be, spreading the football around, belief in Josh. Our offensive line at times very good, at times sort of questionable, both in the run, but again, and their pass protection. But I wouldn't, if looking forward to Denver and St. Louis and, of course, the Arizona Cardinals, I don't believe you want to back. You don't back down from anybody, especially when you're doing what you're doing. So this would be, I'd say, you'd give them the respect, and you go, you know what? They're very good. They're number one in the NFL, but the way we're playing right now, we're extremely confident in who we are. It's going to be a great battle on Sunday.
And I got to tell you, tip of the cap again to John DeFilippo, who has done an amazing job, and we've been singing his praises for a while, but he did an amazing job. And I think the turning point for this offense was at the halftime of the Raiders. I think John DeFilippo said, you know what? I'm going to start calling things the way I want to call them. We're not the team that's going to line up and run the football like we thought we were going to be. What we're going to do is spread people out. And I thought, in fact, the running game finally got going a little bit once they started the inside handoffs out of the shotgun and spread people out. That's what the Browns are right now. It's amazing. But that's what they are. They're a team that's going to spread you out. One tight end, three receivers. You got the little guys running all over the field. You got Barnage, the reliable target in the middle. And now you have two guys in Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson, especially Crow, who's very good at pass protection.
Yes, and they both. And Duke stuck his nose in there too and picked up a blitz that allowed McCown to deliver a football as well.
They're getting better at that, and they're both dangerous, and they're learning the balance. A touchdown to Crow was they showed pressure. They ended up dropping back into a cover three, rushed 4-7 in coverage. Crow looked for his block. Nobody was coming.
And just leaked out the side.
And then that's when he got the ball. Yep. And then he did the rest with a great individual play to get into the end zone. 33-30, and this was a must-have, because I can tell you right now, this show, and maybe it'll be similar in some respects, but had the Browns lost this one and wasted another great offensive performance, this show would have had a very different tenor.
Huh.
The defense would have been, and should still be, under the microscope.
You might have been going solo,
but it might have gotten ugly. We might have been taken out of here. Might have been the lynch mob. That's what it would have been. But it's not, because the Browns did win.
2-3, again, division counts for 1.5, and you started off your division play by letting people know that you can compete in this division.
Absolutely. All right, we take our first break. We're opening up the phone lines. Let's celebrate here on a Victory Monday. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.